Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email your audio file if that's how you'd like to get your story over to me. Just record it on your smart device, send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at Real Ghost Stories Online to share it with us, and we may use it on a future episode of the program. Tony and Carol Hughes joining us today as a guest co-host, as Jenny's off today. Thank you for joining us again, Carol. We didn't scare you away on our first episode the other day that you were on.
I made it through.
You did. You did. You made it through.
And the voices in my head, they stayed pretty calm.
And we had a moment there where you were kind of trying to figure out if your house, well, you firmly said your house is not haunted while giving us lots of firm evidence that it probably was. So that was an interesting moment, but I don't think
my house is haunted. But I've heard voices, and I don't think they're in my head either.
It's haunted people is what it is.
I don't know what it is exactly, but I firmly believe the house is fine.
Do you ever wonder if there's an object or anything that conjures anything for you, or is it just kind of you?
That's funny you would say that.
Okay.
That's funny you'd say that. Okay. I'm going to tell you a quick story, all right?
All right.
So, you know my fascination with Abe Lincoln?
Yeah.
I love him. I love Abe Lincoln. I've got like Abe Lincoln socks and bags, and like I have a Abe Lincoln painting and a bust. I've got like people just buy me Abe Lincoln stuff because they know I love him. So the other day, a woman gave me an Abe Lincoln bust. It's just his head, but it's like life size of Abe Lincoln's head. I had a hard time bringing it home because I was like, I think there's something more than Abe Lincoln's head here. It was just really weird. I left it at work for several days. And I finally brought it home. And he is actually staring at me right now. And I'm like, I've finally decided after like 10 days, he's okay. But I had this really weird feeling about it.
What was the feeling?
And I'm like, why do I have a weird feeling? I love Abe Lincoln.
Yeah, I mean, what were you getting? Like, what was the moment where you thought there's something more here with this thing?
I don't know. I felt it when, because she dropped it off at work. I felt it when I was at work. And then I brought it home, and it's kind of sitting there. And I looked over at it, and I fully had expected him to kind of turn and look at me.
It's like the Haunted Mansion.
No. And he didn't, though. But now, like I've got him right here next to me, and I don't feel that way now. But it was really weird. Like, I had thought about that because she had told me that the guy who had him had passed away, and he loved Abe Lincoln, and he would be so excited to know that this Abe Lincoln bust went to someone who loved Abe Lincoln too. And maybe that kind of put it in my head, mm-hmm, that the guy had passed and he was like checking me out to make sure I like Abe Lincoln.
And then if it passed, yeah, I mean, because if it didn't, if it's still not that having that feeling, you'd almost think maybe it did pass. Maybe it was just that, and he was kind of connected to his object and was like, okay, she's good.
Because he is staring literally at me right now. We're like eye level, and we're talking about ghosts. So I'm feeling pretty good about it at this point.
It also makes you wonder a little bit, did the person who gave it to you know there was something that was kind of attached to it, that they didn't want that attachment in their house anymore? But hey, Carol loves Abe, so let's give it to her.
No, because that guy died.
Okay.
And so the guy who had him had Abe die.
But the person...
Oh, and I think this was at the estate sale.
Oh, okay.
So somebody got it.
Okay. So yeah. I was thinking like maybe it was like the daughter or something that had it and just pat, like, this is my dad's. Yeah. And okay, I get you.
No, so maybe it's the guy who died is like, I want to make sure that Abe goes someplace who appreciates him. I don't know, but I'm not feeling it now. But that's funny you'd even bring that up because I was like, I'm not sure. And I almost put him out in the garage, but then I thought, it's still in the garage.
Yeah, still there. As you begin your amassing your museum of haunted items in your garage. Wow. Thanks.
Started with Abe Lincoln.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But then,
one.
You know, I got to thinking about it. I'm like, really? Like, Abe Lincoln wouldn't be scary. Like, he would say wise things. He would be cool. And, you know, like, Abe Lincoln wouldn't want to scare me.
You tell yourself whatever you need to about Abe Lincoln so you feel good about it.
Thank you.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump over to a call.
Hi, my name is Maria. Just wanted to tell you a little bit about my house. I've been living in my house since 1983. And that house, we bought it when me and my husband got married, so we didn't have any kids. We ended up raising our three children there, but we always had different things going on in the house. And of course, my husband was an unbeliever. He didn't believe that anything was wrong with the house, and he always thought that I was overreacting or looking into things that were not really there. But as we started having kids, and the kids started telling us about different things that would go on in the house, he still didn't believe it until it happened to him. But let me just tell you a little short story that happened in our home. My middle son and I were in the living room. We were watching television. And I would always see stuff out of the corner of my eye. And I would always, you know, see like a short person out of the corner of my eye. So I knew it was like a young person, a child, in the home. And, I would always see this out of the corner of my eye. Well, this one time, me and my son were watching television, and, the way I was sitting on the couch, I was facing the hallway. So I had to turn my head a little bit to look at the TV. And my son, he was sitting in a different position where he couldn't see the hallway, but he could catch it out of his peripheral side. And I saw a little girl coming out of the hallway towards the living room. And I didn't think my son saw her. And the little girl kind of like picked out full view and then went back in the hallway. It was really quick. It happened really fast. I could tell she was wearing a dress. She might have been about 7 or 8. I don't remember her facial features. I just remember the figure wearing a dress. And as soon as she went back in the hallway and we couldn't see her, my son turned around and asked me if I had seen the little girl. So I said yes. I still catch her out of my peripheral sight. Sometimes it's more often than others. Sometimes there's weeks before I see her again. But, you know, she's still in the house. When my daughter was little, she used to have an imaginary friend, and she always used to talk about this little girl named Sally. And we always thought it was her imaginary friend, so I'm thinking maybe that was her that she was talking about. I don't know. I have so many stories about my house. We still live in the house, and we still have things going on, so I'm going to have to call back and give you some more information about my house. But thank you. I listen to you guys all the time. I really love the show, and I will continue listening, and I will call again. Thank you. Bye.
So what do you make of a ghost child running around the house just kind of there?
Ghost children make me sad. That whole idea of a ghost child, that just makes me sad. Because they shouldn't be alone. Like, they should have moved on. And that, you know, it's like, are they looking for something? And, you know, and to her, she would be the motherly figure. The child would be drawn to her. The child would be drawn to the kids because they're this, you know, closer to the same age. And I really, really do think kids can see that even easier than adults.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of kids are open to that.
I often wonder how often are kids playing with ghost kids, so to speak, and are completely unaware that they're just thinking, oh, it's just, you know, because everything is new when you're a kid. And if there's a concept of, oh, well, there's just suddenly a little girl in my room or a little boy in my room. Let's play. Great. You don't really question why they got there, how they got there. They're just there. And then if they're gone, they're gone. But I mean, I think that that might be a fairly common occurrence for a lot of kids.
I do too. But, you know, and you know, if the child died in the house or somewhere around the house, it just always has made me sad, the whole idea of a ghost child.
Sure.
Because they would be so alone and like, that just, there should be a ghost mom with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just, I don't, it just makes me sad that it would end up like that.
You know, there was an interesting interview I did a couple weeks ago with someone on the Grave Talks, the other podcast. And with some of the equipment that they have now for picking up EVPs and just the interaction with the ghosts, there was, I forgot which episode it was and what location it was, but there was exactly what you just said. There was a ghost mom, or almost adoptive ghost mom. There was an adoptive ghost dad, two parent or parental figures that were watching over these ghost children in this haunted building. And they were able to get little glimpses into their interactions through one of these ghost boxes where they were hearing not just reaction to what the living were trying to ask and communicate, but they were getting little glimpses of them interacting with each other. And they've determined through so many years of doing this and hearing these things that that's the dynamic, that these ghost kids are having fun playing with each other. They do have a parental figure there, or two figures there, that are helping them kind of navigate. But there's also some negative things that they protect them from. So I think there is elements of that. Maybe it's not that way in every case, and I totally get the sad part of it. But it's interesting, just these dynamics that they're able to start picking up on with some of these amazing pieces of technology that I don't think any of us ever thought would ever exist. Getting a glimpse, a little snapshot into their world.
You did make me feel a little bit better with that.
just a tad bit better.
Maybe I could sleep a little bit better tonight knowing maybe more ghost children have ghost adoptive parents.
In your non-haunted houses, you hear or see shadows and hear voices.
Of Abe Lincoln.
855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my first name is Kaylee, and I just came across your channel on YouTube about 10 minutes ago. I hope I'm not calling too late. It's almost 3 in the morning here. But, okay, this happened to me back in 2006. There's a graveyard here, and I used to go there during the day just for walking, you know, for exercise, because it's a quiet place and not a whole lot of people go in there, and it's peaceful, so I used to park in the back of the place, and I'd walk through a few times. Well, I would usually go around the same time each day, like early in the afternoon, like maybe 12 or 1 p.m. Well, this one day, I didn't get there until, I think it was after 3 or 4 o'clock. And I went in there and walked through a few times, and I got back to my vehicle. You know, like I said, it was parked in the back, and I always had this habit of checking the place out before I would leave the vehicle because this place is surrounded by a high fence, and there's barbed wire at the top of it, so you can't really climb over it, and the only way out is through the front. So that's why I would always check, you know, there's some crazy people, and I was always afraid that some creep would come in there and I'd be, you know, walking through and you know, and I'd be far away from the car and everything. So I'd always check around. So I checked like I always did, and I decided to walk through one more time. It was starting to get dark. It was like twilight almost. And I thought, oh, well, you know, because I had been there a bunch of times before, never had anything scary happen, never had a problem. So I decided to walk through one more time. I didn't get far from my vehicle, and I heard somebody yell, "Hey!" And I stopped and turned because I thought, I just checked and there was nobody in here. And I thought, how did that person get behind me? Thinking, I don't know what the hell's going on. So I turned and I seen this really tall person that was way back there in the back of the cemetery. And I couldn't really see their clothes that well. It looked like they had on like a blue uniform of some sort. I couldn't really tell. But as soon as I turned, they started, you know, like, you know, coming towards me like quick because they saw me turn, I guess. So I was starting to think it was some crazy person. I thought, oh my God, I'm getting out of here. So I went, I took a shortcut, and I cut between some headstones to get back to my vehicle. And I didn't even check to see where that person was. I was so scared. I just thought it was a crazy person. So I get back to my car, and, of course, I got inside and locked the doors. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to drive through and see who the heck that was. I swear, I drove through there twice, and there was nobody in there to be seen. And there was no way, like I said, the only way out is through the front. And when I had seen this person there way in the back, there, it's not possible that they got out that fast. Plus, after I drove through twice and I didn't see anybody, I went out onto the road and checked, you know, just in case that they did escape somehow. But there was no one around. So then I started thinking, oh my God, I think I just saw a ghost. Now this story is completely true. And to this day, I won't go in that place. And I've heard stories about that place since, you know, because I've told my story to some people. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, there's some strange things that go on in there. There's other people that have seen things in there and stuff. So I don't go in there anymore. Really creepy. Okay, well, that's my story. I know it's not really I think it's terrifying it happened to me, but you probably won't. But it's completely true, though. I know there's people who say they've seen ghosts, and they tell these outrageous stories, and I don't really believe them. But, yeah, mine's true. Thank you. Bye.
I think the more she listens, the more she may start to believe some of the other stories. Gosh, in that cemetery, you're almost, it's twofold. You can be trapped in there with a ghost, or you can be trapped in there with someone that's living that shouldn't be there. I don't know which could be scarier sometimes.
Yeah, right? Either one of those scenarios is scary.
Yeah, you got the barbed wire fence, you can't get out, and yeah.
Well, but she also, at that walk, she went at a different time, though.
Mm-hmm.
She said it was twilight. And it was a little later in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But when she's saying, you know, some people won't find it scary, you know, me, those type of stories are way more believable than the really over the top ones.
Sure.
Because if she's just walking and she's a million miles away and you hear somebody or the other woman just in her living room and sees something, you know, you're not planning on that. All of a sudden it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, seriously, if you're walking in a graveyard and you hear someone yell, you're going to jump regardless.
Sure.
But then when you turn around and there's no one there, that's scary.
You're in a
graveyard.
It makes you very much wonder more about the living. I mean, I don't immediately even go to ghosts, you know, in necessarily graveyards. Yes, it can be a creepy atmosphere, but there's, you know, interesting people, to put it lightly, sometimes that frequent them. I mean, there's folks like us that are just curious and like the history and find a level of peace there. But, you know, there's some that can be a little sketchy and not the safest environment to be in. Have you ever been in a graveyard where you felt uncomfortable, but not because of the ghost or the dead, but more so because of the living?
Not really.
No.
Because, you know, normally, like, I like historical places.
Sure.
So, like, I wanted to go see Ben Franklin's grave. Well, there's a million people around there. So, I've kind of, that's, but I'm also fascinated by those small town graveyards. Mm-hmm. But I haven't run into anybody who freaks me out.
No.
Who's been in a graveyard. Just wait till next time. Yeah. Now it will happen.
Not just go to a couple graveyards just for the heck of it. See if we can find a story.
Just to see.
The only time, I love graveyards, and I always would frequent the ones from Wisconsin that I kind of grew up around. I mean, I spent so much time as a kid in graveyards because there was two of them within walking distance of my house. So I would wander around there and play in them with my proton pack, pretending I was a Ghostbuster as the poor people are just sitting there trying to mourn their dead. I'm running around thinking I'm getting Uncle Louie in the proton pack. But as an adult, I went, the only time I had a somewhat creepy experience, and it really wasn't even in the graveyard. It was in Wisconsin. It's one of the few times I actually went like on a paranormal investigation, so to speak. And it was for my radio show at the time. And we went in there with a mini disc recorder, because this is early 2000s before MP3s and all that. And we literally walked through the graveyard. It was a full moon night, and it was actually really peaceful. We got permission to be in there, and he told me some of the stories. It was something called about Kate Blood and a lot of, you know, urban legend-y type things, but nothing that I really felt like, oh, this is, you know, the local serial killer buried here, and I'm really feeling uncomfortable. Until we got down into, there was the Stations of the Cross, this grotto section of woods that was no longer kept up, but there was all these altars along the way that was, I believe it was built like in the 60s or 70s from the Catholic church that was right down the way. And it was originally meant as a nice, peaceful place. People could go and walk and pray and have a peaceful experience. But it started getting vandalized quite a bit. And they determined this is just not going to work out. So they took all the figurines from these Stations of the Cross, blessed them, and buried them in an unmarked area of the cemetery so people couldn't mess with them anymore, because they started getting messed with, because they started having satanic symbols. And I guess rumor was
creepy.
Rituals being performed on them. And so all that's left now is just these altars. All in the middle of the woods and a grown over path that really, you have to really kind of look with a detailed flashlight to see where you're walking. And we're doing this in the dark at like 10 o'clock at night, going through the woods. So my thought, my concern is maybe a raccoon is going to be a problem for us. But we were down there, and then he's telling the story, and all of a sudden the digital camera I was using, batteries just die. And I'm coming prepared with an extra battery, and it just dies again. And then the digital recorder is kind of crapping out. And it was that whole electronic thing not working phenomena that was occurring. And then off in the distance a little ways, then we started kind of hearing like the rustling of leaves, but the footsteps or the sound more so of, you know, right, left, two legs moving. And we were a lot more concerned, and I still am to this day, of thinking that was might have been a human that was down there, that we were interrupting whatever they were doing. Because we got to one of the altars or the Stations of the Cross. And it's spelled in there on sticks. I think it was live, L-I-V-E or live. And I'm not quite sure, you know, if it meant to say live or live. But it just said that in sticks. It was very Blair Witchy in a real life Blair Witchy.
Well, if that was a movie, that's when the mass murderer person would have stepped in.
Exactly.
Like, for real.
We got out of there pretty quick. I was never so relieved to... to be back into a cemetery, actually, after that moment, because that was on the riverbank next to the cemetery. Once we were up into the cemetery, it was like, oh, it's so peaceful up here, all the gravestones. Just bizarre.
See, and I listened to that, and I'm like, why? Why were you even doing that?
It was my Halloween special. It was my Halloween special.
Part of you thought it was a good idea.
And, you know, the audio is actually, I believe I have the audio, and I used it on a very early version of this show. If someone wants to trace it back almost 1,000 episodes now, you can still hear that audio of the young me at like 22 doing that.
Screaming like a girl.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But it was an experience. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Carla from Seattle. I'm talking about an investigation that we did just recently. We went to a friend's house, an apartment, where she had paranormal experiences, especially in her bedroom. So we investigated in the living room with a K2 meter and digital recording. And then we proceeded to the kitchen, where she said sometimes the kitchen cabinets would open up as we're exiting. The K2 meter started going off, and as I got closer to exiting the kitchen, I had said, told my friend, I'm starting to feel the chills. I said, yeah, I'm really feeling the chills. And then I said, is there anybody next to me? And then we moved on to the bedroom. And the bedroom, the K2 meter, we sat on the bed, the left side where the boyfriend laid, that's his side, and the K2 was just going crazy. We had, after reviewing all our video and digital recordings in the kitchen, when I said I had the chills to my friend, I got an EVP that said, yes, that she was. I said, are you standing next to me? And that said, yes. And then we were in the bedroom, and we were blessing the bedroom, and we heard a voice on the recording that said, get out. And then in the living room, my friend said, did you say something? I said, no. And she said, well, I heard a soft whisper. During the recording, we heard a voice say, what? And then a louder voice that said, what? So it was pretty good investigation, and I love your show. Talk to you later. Bye.
Would you heed the warning if you had something saying, get out?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't even hesitate. I'm the girl flying out the door. Paranormal investigators fascinate me because I am way too afraid to do anything like that. And the fact that people do, I find very impressive. There's no way I could do that.
It is something I don't think I'm not opposed to going on some investigations every now and then. I don't think it'll ever be a normal part of my life. But I'm more afraid of the whole something attaching and coming back with me more than anything else.
I am too. That part kind of freaks me out. And you'll never get me to do a paranormal investigation for that reason alone.
Yeah,
there's no way.
There's just too many possibilities. I've heard too many stories from even people who know what they're doing. And there is right ways to close things and end things that I think reduce your odds of something following you. But I don't think it's ever 100% foolproof when it comes to that sort of stuff.
And we've heard those stories.
Yes. 855-853-4802, the number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's get another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. I just discovered your show and absolutely love it. I can't believe in all of my years of devouring everything supernatural, I'm just now discovering your show. My name is Haley, and my story is from when I was young. I'm a little bit of a sensitive. When I was younger, I was always able to tell when there were other things around. I've never been able to really see. Every once in a while, I've seen things like shadow figures, but nothing real big. But I had a poltergeist living with me when I was between the ages of about 8 or 9 until I moved out of that house at the age of 16. So this poltergeist, I never named, but I would have conversations with it because as a younger kid, of course, you feel alone, especially being the youngest of 5 children. I was always kind of on my own. So growing up in this house, in this rural area in Utah, I kind of became friends with this entity, with this poltergeist. And there's one story in particular that I feel like really culminates the relationship I had with this poltergeist. When I was 15, almost 16, so I had my driver's permit and I was being allowed to drive back and forth to my school, I would make a habit of coming home from school and taking a nap. I was an exhausted teenager. I think I probably took that stereotype a little far. But I would come home and take a nap after school almost every day. My mom worked, so she wasn't home. My sister was living with us at the time. She was kind of in between schools and trying to decide what she was going to do with her life. So she was working at a fast food joint, and her schedule was kind of erratic. So sometimes she was home, sometimes she was not, when I got home from school. Well, this day in particular, I got home and nobody was home. My bedroom was down in the basement, the farthest side away from the front doors that you could get. You had to walk across a dance floor that was in our basement, was a kind of a converted studio dance area. So you could always hear when somebody walked across the dance floor because it was pretty loud. Then you'd have to walk up a set of stairs and then across the hallway and to my bedroom. Quite literally the last possible place you could have a bedroom in this huge house. So I get home from school, drop off my stuff, go downstairs, I'm reminding you, I'm all alone. No one is home. I've locked all the doors like I always do because I'm a paranoid person. And I go down to my bedroom and I lay down. I've been in bed for probably 20-ish minutes. So I'm in that place where it's almost to sleep and not quite there 100%. So I'm still being able to hear things and registering what's going on around me. So I hear somebody pull up. I hear a door upstairs open. And then I hear walking. And I'm like, oh, okay, Jewel General's here. My sister, my older sister. And I hear footsteps go across the dance floor, up the steps to the hallway, and then a pause, and my door opens. But I'm a teenager, and I'm super lazy, and I know that if I get up, I'm going to get asked to do something. So I lay there in bed, and I'm quiet, and I'm just... I'm waiting for this person to go away because I'm like, I don't want to get up. So the door has opened, pause, nothing. Then the door shuts and I hear footsteps walking back upstairs. So I think, okay, well, yeah, I guess I should get up because I'm totally awake now. I mean, if you know someone else is home, you know that they've come down to look for you, the likelihood of me at least going back to sleep isn't super high. So I get out of bed, I walk across the floor, go up the stairs, and I look out the huge bay windows that we have in our house. And as I'm looking out these bay windows, I watch my sister drive up. No one had been inside the house. Remember, I had locked the doors and I double checked them. They were locked. Something had come into my home and across the floor and up the stairs to my bedroom. And I recognized it as another person because energetically you can tell if it's another person. And I knew that that person stood at the door, looked at me, and then and walked away. And the doors were locked. Totally freaky moment. But I was never scared during the encounter. I was never worried or nervous. And living in this house, I was never worried or nervous. Things would happen all the time, like lights turning on and off, doors being opened and shut. And this was a home that was built on just regular farmland that my family had owned for generations. And it was a brand new home when we moved in. So it's not like it had a lot of history. The other story that I wanted to tell you, and then I'll be done, is
a story about this poltergeist. And the reason I call it a poltergeist is because I was never afraid. There was never anything fearful going on in the house. It just seemed to like to play tricks on us a little bit and let us know that it was there.
And that's where her call ended. So I hope that she's able to call back in and share her poltergeist story, because her first story was pretty interesting.
I like her storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
I was all ready to hear the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you make of the energy in that house where, you know, she saw it, she felt it, but it didn't feel scary?
Didn't she say her family had had that land for a long time?
Mm-hmm.
So it almost makes you feel like it was somebody that just wants to check on her.
I wonder if it is, you know, we were talking earlier, if it was kind of like a guardian spirit type deal where it was a family member. We hear that quite often where, and I almost wonder, you know, how does this work? You just get assigned a new, you know, family member, a new generation. Like, okay, this one's yours. You get to watch your great niece or whoever it is. And then you're just kind of there like, all right, I'm going to watch out for you. And this is what you get. And I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm just going to go walk down the hall and watch it.
But I'm here.
Yeah. Turn on something good on Netflix.
But at the same time, it's like, but you're a ghost. You don't have to walk across the... Well, I love that she had a dance floor in her house. But you don't have to walk across the dance floor. You're a ghost.
Yeah.
So wanting to be heard. And that alone is scary.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're trying to be protective, but you're scaring her at the same time. She's a teenager.
You can't really help.
But it's interesting that she didn't feel scared.
Yeah. I think that that's one of those things where I think it's easier to be scared if you are not remotely empathic, because then I think you can easily jump to, I don't know what this is. I'm not feeling good or bad. But if you have some sort of empathic ability and you have a feeling of good or bad, I think sometimes it may make a haunting a little bit easier and a little less scary, because you can tell, you can have that feeling of this is good or this is bad, and operate from that MO first.
Yeah, but then there's me, because I'd be like, I locked the doors. There's something that walked in. It looked at me. There's nothing good coming out of this.
Yeah.
To me, that would be scary.
We're like, no matter what, it's going to be scary, even if it is like a positive feeling out of it.
Yeah, right.
Okay. It can happen, you know.
I have had the positive, like, I have had it happen to where I know there was something there protecting me. Like, I have felt that.
Mm-hmm.
And not scared at all.
Sure.
But if I'm home alone and I'm a teenager and I hear it walking across the dance floor, that's pretty scary.
Well, and it's a whole, you know.
But I loved your storytelling.
I did too. And it's a whole different thing, I think, when you're at that age, because there's so many new things you're understanding and experiencing about life and yourself. And if you add that into the mix, that's totally something that probably is not super relatable to most of her other, you know, girlfriends at the time, of like, hey, I'm feeling like this with these ghosts. How about you? And they'd be like, what are you talking about? So that would must
and
be.
You know, even as an adult,
yeah.
That's one of those things that. You have to experience it. If you've never experienced it, you don't have a reference point.
Sure.
So you might be mildly fascinated by it, but you don't get it, or you don't believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about believing in it if it happens to you. It's like it happened.
Yeah.
It was a fact. And so to me, I always find that interesting that people, they dismiss it. Well, yeah, you've never experienced it.
Yeah, it's something,
you know what I mean?
It's something you have to go through to understand, to really comprehend what it is, you know, the emotions are that are behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just always find it really interesting. Like, and in fact, in these stories that we heard today, like, she's getting ready to take a nap. Last thing she's thinking about is somebody walking in her house. The lady just walking in the graveyard and here's somebody, mm-hmm. You know, you're a million miles away and it draws your attention.
Yeah, it's like these things
to it.
Yeah, they happen when you least expect them. And I think that's funny, because a lot of people go out searching for ghosts and ghost experiences and don't get anything. But I think half the time that's it. They just seem to happen sometimes without much conjuring of anything up. And that's
yeah.
Way, Seems to work. That's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person. Go to ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all almost 200 EPP bonus episodes, exclusive video content, and a whole lot of other extra stuff up there for you as well. Thanks to Carol Hughes for guest hosting today. Greatly appreciate that and your stories. Until next time, thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.